When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? You have joined us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. If it's your first time here, we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. We do it one track at a time, coming back at you from a week break because sometimes birthday festivities have to take precedence, or because the week was just really, really busy and we couldn't find time to record. But nevertheless, here we are. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kamaya. Joining me, as always, the ever ready to go Corey Morissette, who is never busy with other projects at all. Corey, how you doing?
Tell you what, this week I haven't been because John Mariano has fantasy baseball drafts all week. So I haven't recorded any shows this week until tonight. I didn't know what to do with myself, so I went to the gym and now I'm just tired and cranky. But I should tell you, Mark, thanks to our good friends at the Sean Geek podcast, I now have a theme. So from now on, you have to throw it to my theme. So introduce me a little bit better and I'll play my theme.
Introduce you better. Okay. Yeah. I'll introduce him better. All right. Here we go. Joining me, as always, the incomparable producer extraordinaire, Corey Morissette.
Corey Morissette. The Godfather.
The Legend.
All right, enough of that.
Yes, finally, I get the respect I deserve. Thanks to Sean and Todd from the Sean Geek podcast.
That is beautiful. And yes, you do deserve all of it. I love that that was the music. Pomp and Circumstance was the music they decided to go with.
But at one point, they were talking on their show, like, what would their wrestling theme song, you know, which wrestler's theme song would they like for their own theme? And Sean had thought that'd be a good one for him. But then they were talking Macho about King, my little dalliance with Chris Jericho on Pot of Thunder a few weeks back, and they thought maybe I should take Pomp and Circumstance. So I will take it happily, and Mark, you can get like the Doink the Clown theme, hopefully. And I saw a little tear in your eye when that played, so that was good.
Yeah, a little tear. If it must be a late 80s, 90s wrestling style theme, can I at least get the Shawn Michaels HBK theme, because I don't know.
It's, that fits.
It's like, and, you know, and must, yeah,
that'll fit for our guests too. Mark, keep those good intros coming. We got a couple of guests on here tonight.
Well, joining us on the show, fan extraordinaire, a guy who always seems to be involved in the conversation. Always has something to say on our polls and on Twitter. At Fatman on Guitar, you may have seen him. Here he is, Alan. I don't want to butcher your last name. Please tell us how to say it.
It's Tiganelli, and you can't butcher it any more than it's been butchered throughout my life.
Boy, I feel you on that one. So yeah, no worries. Thank you for joining us, man. How you doing?
Thanks for having me. Doing well. Looking forward to an hour or so of Van Halen.
Well, there you go.
Yes, sir.
Corey, why don't you introduce because we're not alone. Not alone with Alan and us. We have yet another guest. Why don't you introduce him, please?
Yes, from one of my favorite new podcasts called Dissect That Film. I was very happy that this fellow reached out and said, hey, I'm a Van Halen fan too. Could I come on the show? And we said, absolutely. The artist formerly known as Parker, according to his Zoom handle, but his name is Brett from Dissect That Film. How's it going tonight, Brett?
It is going fantastic. I'm so excited to be here. Out of all the podcasts that I've guested on, I think I'm most excited to be on this than any of the other ones. No offense to every other podcast I've guested on, but I love Van Halen so much. I can't wait to talk about it.
That's fantastic. And we both love movies. Tell us a little bit about Dissect That Film.
Yeah. So Dissect That Film is me and my wonderful co-host Dan and Angela. We sit down and we terribly plot crunch the good, the bad, and the uglies of cinema.
So Clint Eastwood films, I got you.
No, not yet. We haven't gotten to him yet. But it's basically us sitting down and going through the entire plot of a movie. The best we can with how good my notes are with that movie. So,
well, and right now you're going through like the Alien franchise. So some of those are pretty plot heavy. Like, I was telling you how much I really enjoyed your Alien 4 talk there. And now you've been doing Prometheus, which I can't wait to check out.
Yep. It's been an adventure going through Alien Resurrection.
Those two of the franchise are a particular adventure, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
We'll come back to that, I'm sure, later at some point. But nevertheless, thank you, not Parker, for joining us here on the show. We appreciate you, Brett, and thank you, Alan. Yes, we got two fans of Van Halen, fans of the show, I dare say, and we've got a full house. This is going to be good. Good stuff all around. Corey, you and I do have an announcement, but I think, do you want to wait for that, or should we just go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off now?
Yeah, let's wait till the end. We're going to spin a good song tonight. Everyone's going to listen until the bitter end, so we'll put it at the end. But because we had to take last week off for the very first time, Mark, you canceled a week on us. The Rock and Poll has been sitting quite neglected. So why don't you go ahead and cherry pick some of your favorite comments and let us know what the poll results were.
I will do that. Definitely.
Unless you're not ready, in which case I can give you the poll results.
I'm totally ready. I just have to, really kind of warm up to it. You know, it's a thing with me. I have to make sure to really get into the zone before I read out, because sometimes you guys, and I'm not pointing you out, Alan, I'm not pointing you out, Brett, but some of you guys that get involved on Twitter you have lengthy comments, lengthy tweets. And, you know, sometimes it's takes all of my energy just to read them out there. But you know what? I'm proud to do it. Happy to do it, in fact. So here we are. Well, not last week, but the last show, I believe we went over the duo of Tora Tora and Loss of Control. Am I correct on that, Corey?
That is correct. Yep.
That there it is, the poll. Well, the results of the poll were astounding, with an 85.6% What Dreams Are Made Of, with a low 14.4 Dream Is Over. That seems about right for me. I kind of maybe thought it would be just a little bit higher, but that's still pretty high. That's still pretty good. Any surprises in that result?
Not really. I was thinking we had 125 votes, so it was a pretty active poll. High 80s, low 90s, I think, for Loss of Control is pretty good. We were pretty positive on it, and a lot of the heavy metal listeners, guys like Jonathan and Greg, from So Far, So Pod, So What, they love that track. So yeah.
Of course.
Not really shocked at it. I don't think we got a lot of Discord negative votes in the comments, if I remember correctly. Why don't you give us a few here, Mark?
All right. Well, looking at the tweets here, I'll just point out our buddies at the Deep Purple podcast said, glad to see you broke the Van Halen 3 streak. Boy, so am I, too. Great track this week. Love the energy on this one. Track or tracks, either way. So thank you guys so much. Yes, breaking the Van Halen 3 streak was a very welcome spin. So our
don't
friend
invoke
Kevin,
that name too much because it might come up tonight.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I've already jinxed the show. And if that's the case, I'm just going to apologize to our guests right now. But our friend Kevin Brown from the Tom Petty podcast says, come on, man, this is stone cold badass rock music. It actually needs basic repeated lyrics because it fits the vibe, which is nose ringed hardcore punk skin on heavy metal bones. Frenzied, aggressive, unapologetic, and fucking brilliant. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Kevin, I applaud you and your adjective game. That was just a lot of words. And I'm assuming you're just very gung-ho on this particular track or tracks. Both. We'll just say track, but just know that they both come in like a one package. How about that? Will just save us a lot of time. Greg DiPasquale, friend of the show, a guest, in a dream world, I would have pulled this, he says. Oh, poor Greg. But yeah, good stuff there. From our buddy Greg Zito, blazing solo from Ed. He and Al are locked in tight. Love this high energy track. Absolutely. And so do we. We'll kind of go down the list here. False Premise says, Tora Tora is right. Eddie drops some serious dive bombs in this one. Straight fire. That's just for Tora Tora. So I wonder if False Premise was not so keen on Loss of Control. Wonder if he's part of the 14%.
I doubt it. False Promise, I think, has upvoted pretty much everything.
Fair enough. Wabo and Cabo says, Tora Tora starts out like a Black Sabbath-sounding tune, a great heavy intro to Loss of Control, a wide variety of different twists and turns. Love it. Absolutely. We loved it, too. The aforementioned Sean Geek and Fast Fret dudes said, Women and Children First, I go back to quite often, and this is one of the reasons for it. Killer Van Halen boogie. I don't know if I would call that a boogie. I think I would call it I can't call it a jam either because it's not so much a jam. It's just so much I don't know. Would you consider it a jam or a boogie, or do you have a different name?
I think it needs to be heavier than a boogie.
Whenever you say boogie, I'm just naturally assuming it's a boot scooting kind, and that's not what we got here. Our friend Scott Monroe says, a wild crash landing of a song that gets me pumped every listen. I'm there for David Lee Roth's Crazy Man Howls, plus the sonic boom tempo by the trio. The 1-2 punch and Romeo Delight are my faves on the album. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Or he put a bunch of O's at the end of it. Romeo Delight, we still haven't spun that one, so
yep, still
give
there.
It time.
Maybe tonight.
Give it time. Maybe tonight. Who knows? While I have the guys here on the show, Alan, I didn't see if you put anything in the tweets, but I'll just go ahead and ask you straight up. What are your thoughts on Tora Tora / Loss of Control?
I gave it that's what dreams are made of. It's basically controlled chaos. Feels through the whole song. It feels like they're hanging on by a thread to keep things from, you know, spiraling out of control. But it kind of shows the connection that Eddie and Alex had, that they were able to hang that tightly together through that.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely, for sure. Brett, how about yourself, sir?
Oh, I mean, I love that whole album. And it's just such it's chaos. Like those two together, they're such a great blend. And I just love just the sound, not just the instrumental parts of it, but just like everything that they add to it. Where it sounds like, you know, bombs are going off and stuff. It's such a crazy combo. And being a little kid listening to that for the first time, I was just, it's wild stuff.
Yeah. Wild stuff indeed. I'll do a couple more here from the Rock and Roulette podcast. Ed is on fire on this one, but you can't overlook Al and Mike on this one either. Great deep cut from a great album. Yeah, absolutely can't. We try to never overlook Al and Mike for sure, especially on a track like this. Sometimes, though, their performance is either overshadowed or is just kind of not there. That's usually the only criticism we tend to have. But in this one, but you're right. You're absolutely right. don't overlook what Alan, what the rhythm section in particular is doing on this tune. And then we're going to go to our friend Brad Gould. Brad says, this song shreds. The chorus, while repetitive to almost the point of access, access, maybe madness, I don't know.
Maybe excess.
There we go. Yeah. He said, but while repetitive to almost to the point of excess, creates a lull like the crest, a roller coaster right before you blast off. Amazingly tight rhythm and peak Eddie Van Halen's speed skills. Amazing song. Yes, I deny none of that. I don't think Corey does either. So there we go. And then I
want to shout out Brad too, because he messaged me the other day. He's keeping track of my current fitness journey, which is only about a month old right now. So I want to let him know on the air here, I've lost 14 pounds since I started, and thanks for checking in, buddy.
Hell yeah, dude. Good for you. Keep it up. And finally, this one from our friend Rava Flav says, weirdo tune. And it's great. If this song was a fine wine, I would say that I detect notes of Out of Love Again. Gotta check out that Van Halen news desk import video. So very Dave. Yes, you were right. So there you go. There's some little picks from the rock and poll from last show. And you know, speaking of polls, man, we're gonna try and do them as often as we can, but there's a good chance we might not get those anymore. So we'll just stay tuned for that.
But thanks, there you Elon.
Yeah,
we'll figure out something. Even if we'll just get people's out. If people comment and they hashtag their vote, we can just tabulate them manually. I'll buy a calculator. We'll be fine.
Buy a calculator. Just do it on your phone, dude. Just do it on your phone.
Right.
So there you have it. So I guess since we do that, anything else that you want to go into before we head on over to the wheel?
Well, I'll just give you some of the lot of Van Halen news lately. We'll go through of the headlines. First of all, of course, Wolfgang Van Halen, released a new song. Another celebration at the end of the world. It's fan-fucking-tastic. Pre-orders are available now to get the new album, Mammoth 2. I got mine pre-ordered, the signed copy with the pinwheel splatter vinyl. It's going to be fantastic. Everyone should go check that out. Mammoth has a new website. You can pre-order the album there. Michael Anthony was in the news quite a bit. He talked about maybe having a side project with Phil X from Bon Jovi. And a couple other guys, and he kind of hinted at a singer, but didn't come out and say who. And then Jeff Scott Soto hints that he was the singer, so might be getting a little Mikey supergroup happening here, which would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that doesn't sound bad at all. I'm here for it, Mikey and a supergroup.
Yeah, we talked about this a while ago when it was announced, but Michael Anthony performed at the Save the Heartbeat fundraising concert. Just a little bit ago. I know Trey Cool from Green Day played some drums on it. I had a whole bunch of guests, including Sammy Hagar. He sang Somebody Get Me a Doctor, and it was fan-fucking-tastic. You can get those videos on the Van Halen news desk. And speaking of performances that aren't so fan-fucking-tastic, David Lee Roth, who he emerges from his burrow whenever there's news about Van Halen and it's not him. He comes out until he sees a shadow. He returned to the stage. He did a one-off performance with an all-star cover band called the Royal Machines in Las Vegas. They did a performance of Panama that is, watch it. I don't want to say too much about it, but the video is available on the Van Halen news desk. And Gary Cherone, our old friend Gary Cherone, apologies to Gary, fantastic interview with Jeremy White on the Jeremy White Show. And he did like a 20-minute conversation just about Van Halen. So the video for that is also on the Van Halen news desk, www.vhnd.com. Go check it out there.
Speaking of, this is a complete digression, but I have to just bring it up. This past weekend, I had a show with my Killswitch Engage tribute band, Rose of Sharon. And I was talking with a few of the musicians at the gig, and the word was that at some point, very, very soon, there may be a night full of 80s metal tribute show coming down the pipeline. And they suggested that I'd be like the main singer for this night. And I said, I won't do all of them because that's just too many songs. And also a lot of songs I probably won't do. However, if the band Extreme does happen to make it to the set list, I feel like I kind of have to volunteer to do that one. If nothing else, just because, and I had to explain why, I had to put into context what we do here on the show, how one of the constant phrases is apologies to Gary, and I had to tell them why. So I feel like if nothing else, it'll help me make up for the fact that it feels like we always shit on Gary Cerrone on the show, which we don't try to do. We really don't. We actually are big fans of Gary and Extreme. Just not so much all the stuff that happened on Van Halen 3. And that's unfortunate, but that's why we always say apologies to Gary. So stay tuned for that, Corey. Stay tuned for that, everybody, if that does come to fruition. Oh, we need
video of that. Hey, you said 80s, right? So there, you know, there's a couple of David Lee Roth albums in there. You can do some Sammy Hagar stuff. Come on.
I mean, you're right. I don't control the set list. So whoever actually does put this show on, and if I get lucky to be invited to it, we'll just see. But like I say, if Extreme happens to show up on the set list, I feel like it's at least my duty to volunteer to do the vocals just as a tribute to Gary, because we don't hate Gary Cerrone here.
We don't.
That one album.
Just that one. Al and I were talking. He has the Live in Pittsburgh bootleg that with Gary. And like that's a tremendous concert, a tremendous album. Big fan of that one, Alan?
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think it showed what could have been with Gary instead of what we got with Van Halen 3.
Yeah, I know Gary in that interview, he actually confirmed that there was a follow-up to Van Halen 3 recorded. It'll never see the light of day. It's sitting in a warehouse somewhere. So,
you know, and yet, in spite of everything, I'm still very intrigued to hear that. As you say, it'll never see the light of day, but my curiosity, just because I know what he's capable of as a vocalist, as a musician. So he has the potential to do something really incredible. We know that because look at Extreme, like, look no further. But yeah, that's a shame that we won't get to hear that, but I would be very, very curious. So you know, but like I say, stay tuned for whatever comes about with that show on the horizon. But until that time, Corey, I think it's time to go to the wheel, wouldn't you say? But before we do that, we have to do my favorite thing. We have guests on the show, so now it's a double whammy. You guys, raise your glass, take a sip. It's time for manifestations. That's right. We manifest what song we really want that wheel to land on. Now, Alan, Brett, you're first timers on the show, but if you've listened to this show at any point, you know that we are not good at calling our shot. Well, Corey is. I am not. Three times he has done it. So it's always sort of up in the air. But since you guys are the guests, I'm going to go straight to you guys. Brett, I'll start with you. You're here on the show. What song do you want to manifest for the show tonight?
I got to go with Humans Being.
I knew it.
I love it so much.
Well, you are a film podcaster, so I took a hunch to say that if you're a Van Halen fan, you like film, there's a good chance Humans Being is probably going to be up there. That you're looking out. You know, is it for the same reason that I'm thinking?
So Twister was just a really important movie for me as a kid. I've probably seen it over 100 times, and
naturally,
just, you know, hearing the song and being a Van Halen fan, and the best part is when you hear it for the first time, you just hear the instrumental part of it, and you just know like something intense is going to happen. And then, of course, the end of the movie during the credits, they play Respect the Wind, which I love that instrumental so much.
Oh yeah,
that movie and those songs just mean a lot to me.
Same, very much same. So there you go. You got one for Humans Being. Not a stranger to the manifestation portion of this show. Alan, how about you? Is there a particular song you want to manifest?
Yeah, I'm going to go back a little further, go back to the first album, and I'm going to go with Little Dreamer.
Nice.
Ooh, yeah. There is never a bad call for a Van Halen one. Never at all. So I'm here for it. Corey? We took a week off. Thank you for that. And now we're back into the game. You're tired and miserable, probably a little bit from the workout, you know, getting your fit on. What Van Halen song will soothe your soul and body tonight?
Well, I'm tempted to double manifest Human's Being because it's time. And I keep hearing about the, well, it was going to be a direct sequel that's coming out called Twisters.
Yeah.
Now it's not going to be a direct sequel. It's just going to... Like, I mean, Cary Elwes is still around. He could still be the evil weatherman,
but he's he died.
Well, yeah, spoiler. Yeah,
he died in the movie. Bill Paxton died in real life, and I don't know if Helen Hunt wants to come back.
So. I didn't see a body in the movie. You can bring him back.
He was in the truck that blew up after the Twister. You know, flew it up in the air. But I get your point. That's fine. And we love Cary Elwes, Cary Ewells, however you want to say it. The problem is you can't do a Twisters or a Twister sequel at all without Bill. You just can't.
Or Philip Seymour Hoffman can't do it. Or Philip,
especially after where his career went and who he became. I mean, becoming Philip Seymour Hoffman. Yeah, it's like. It just wouldn't feel right. Now, if they want to like kind of give it like a soft reboot, sure, I guess. But you know, maybe they should reset it instead of Oklahoma, since Tennessee is now the new Tornado Alley. Yeah, go ahead. Well, me and my friends will make it. There you go. It'll be a spiritual sequel.
We're gonna get Alan Ruck, the map guy from the first one. He'll be the main character.
Hey. It's Cameron. Rabbit
knows all.
He'll always be Cameron Fry to me. But yeah. Rabbit is all good. Right. Rabbit is wise. That's three. That's right. You know what? Because I am doing it as well. I've been trying and trying and trying. But maybe the third time was the charm here. So three manifestations for Human's Being. That's not to say that if we spin anything from Van Halen 1, including Alan's pick, that I'd be upset about it. I wouldn't. But Human's Being, as you say, Corey, I think it's time. So there you are. Three wishes. There it is. So maybe the wheel will be kind. We took a break. It's time that, let's have a fresh start, wheel. How about that? Fresh start? All right.
Be nice. Yeah, be kind. All right, Sammy's warming up the pipes. Let's see if he's ready.
Here we go!
Well, it's going to be a Sammy track. Or is it? Yeah. Oh, it's close. We're going to David Lee Roth. We're going to the album that Human's Being is on.
Yeah.
So we were close, but this is Can't Get This Stuff No More.
You know what? It's I feel like because you didn't prime it, you didn't prime the wheel this time.
I was thinking it was going to stop on Black and Blue. I was getting very excited. Like, oh, it's a Sammy suit. It's Black and Blue.
It was close. It was very close. Yeah. But
oh, well. So but
there you go.
While I frantically try and find information on Can't Get This Stuff No More, Mark, you guys chat about this track from The Best of Van Halen, Volume 1.
I'll kick it off. This was the, I've mentioned before, The Best of Volume 1 was sort of my, not my introduction to Van Halen, but it was the album that I first bought ever by them. It gave me a look into what their extensive catalog looked like at the time, with a few songs omitted here and there, which of course they rectified in Van Halen Best of Volume 2. But Volume 1 is near and dear to my heart. It's the reason why I started playing guitar, just from the inside booklet picture of Eddie's guitar, just in that this sort of black and white silhouette. That was my inspiration, not to mention just listening to Eddie play. Like, I want to try and do that someday. So of course I've heard this song from there. This wasn't one that I went to and kept on repeat, though, because it was too close to where Human's Being was on the album. So I was like, well, there it is. I'm listening to that one again. And then when that was over, it's like, okay, time to restart, go back to the earlier stuff and then get into Sammy. This is not a bad track that I recall, but I'll admit it's been a while since I've visited this track. So it'll be an interesting perspective this time around. Alan, do you have any fond memories or any connection to this track?
To be honest, I don't have any memory of it at all. I bought the best of some years after it came out, but it's not one that I spin a lot.
Fair enough. All right. So there you go. Another fresh perspective, perhaps. Brett, how about yourself?
This album was probably the most played album I had. And actually, I still have my original. I have it in like a CD case. So there I don't have the original case, but I have
there it is.
The album that I had as a kid. But I, to be honest, when it comes to like, of course, these were like new David Lee Roth songs, and I loved them. I thought both this and Me Wise Magic were great songs, and they came. I felt they should have went before Humans Being. I think Humans Being would have been a great ending to the to this, but I get why they did it. But I think these two songs are better than the Sammy songs that were written for Best of Both Worlds.
Ooh,
later.
Hot take.
which is, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong, Up for Breakfast is like, yeah, and then the other one, I can't remember the other one's name. Yeah, but no, I love this song. This is a song actually I catch myself just singing to myself all the time. Like, I still like, I, there are times where I don't listen to Van Halen for a good period of time, and then I'll just throw on a song randomly and I'll still know every lyric. And this is one of those songs where I just catch myself singing it for no specific reason, and I know all the words.
Ah, well, there you go. So
I love this song. I think it's great, and I'm super pumped to hear it again.
Well, there you go. Brett showing his hand right at the top of the show already. So, you know, maybe there's probably no chance that a reanalyzation will sway him, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll see what we have to work with. How about you, Corey? Any fond memories of this one?
Oh yeah. Like a Best of Volume One was a big album for me too. I'm not going to tip my hand on this song too much, but you know, I love me some Me Wise Magic that we already covered on this. So
yes, you do.
I found a couple of interesting tidbits here. The music for this track was based on a track called Backdoor Shuffle, which was originally part of the sessions for the Balance album.
Ooh. Oh, did not know that.
Yep. It's also Eddie Van Halen's only use of a talk box, which was actually operated by the guitar tech, because Eddie felt it, quote, just sounded like a wah-wah, and then he used it himself. So,
I mean, he's not wrong. He's not wrong about that. Now that I think about it, it's like, okay. Yeah. So I would have, on the surface, I would have just assumed he was using a wah-wah. So that's really cool information to know for all you, guitar nerds out there. So there you have it. Yeah. Well, cool. All right.
And there's one more, thanks to the Van Halen Encyclopedia, which we should shout them out. Cause he was on the show and did a fantastic job.
He was. Yes.
Apparently, Dave brought several palm trees into the studio for inspiration while writing the lyrics. So,
palm trees, you say?
Yes.
What? All right.
Doesn't shock me. Dave I'm is trying just to, a weird guy.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm trying to see the correlation. Maybe he was having a breathing problem, and he's like, and he brought in some palm trees to help. He's like, can't, and then it just didn't help. So he's like, I can't get this stuff no more. Cause you know, he was just trying to, he was trying to buy too many palm trees, and they finally said, no, you literally cannot. I was like, man, can't get this stuff no more. So you gotta take what we can get. I got a few palm trees, and I just have this vision of the rest of the band going, why? Just why? But look, I'm sure the guys probably stopped questioning the why of David Lee Roth many, many years ago. So I guess we should do the same. So with that being said, if Alan's ready, if Brett's ready, Corey, if you're ready, I'm ready. Let's spin this thing.
Let's do it. Let's go all the way back to 1997. This is Can't Get This Stuff No More. Pretty cool little build so far, Mark. Hey, you start off with Eddie and then Alex just on the hi-hat a little, or just on the cymbal a little bit. And all of a sudden you get Mikey. Then Mikey's get louder. That sense of urgency is building.
This is difficult to admit, but I suddenly remember, like, I just had this grand flashback listening to that riff. And I'm like, oh my God, when I was younger listening to that, I thought this intro was a bit dull. So that's, I think, one of the reasons why I never really went back to it all that much. When I had this album, I'm really kind of upset with myself for thinking that, because it's not true. This is a great little intro. This is a great little ditty, a little riff that which we've seen and heard Eddie do countless times, gives us this sort of subtle build up until it finally, you know, kicks into the rest of the song. And that's what's happening here. But yeah, I had to throw that in there because I remember as a kid going like, oh, they're not getting into the song quick enough. All right, I'm going into the, which is hilarious because I'm pretty sure the Humans Being intro is way longer, but it was Humans Being. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
This was also my first introduction to a Van Halen F-bomb.
Yeah.
I was like, did he say fuck it?
Yeah.
Corey, you said this came originally from something from the Balance sessions?
Yeah, the music specifically came from the Balance sessions, apparently.
It sounds like it would have been right at home on Diver Down.
Yeah, it's got a good swing to it, right?
It's got that groove. It's got that kind of atmosphere that, you know, some of the best stuff on Diver Down had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. Park or Brett? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, this is, it's crazy the sound difference between, like, you always know it's Eddie Van Halen, but like when you listen to Balance, which is one of my favorite albums from Van Halen, it's such a different sound from Eddie. Like but as soon as you bring back Dave, you get that Dave sound again. Like Eddie's, mm-hmm. it changes it completely, but I mean, it's always Eddie, but it doesn't matter what he does. It's always just amazing. I love it.
But it kind of, the production sounds like Balance because that was Bruce Fairbairn and this is Glenn Ballard, who's very much a producer in the same style, right? He did Jagged Little Pill. So sonically, it kind of has a similar kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it just has that chemistry that the four original guys had.
Mm-hmm. Question to the panel. Can't get that here. Stuff no more. Here's a question. What exactly do you think a feather in a bucket means?
And coming
like
up,
I get steak and potatoes.
Bottle. Yeah,
steak and potatoes, a feather in a bucket. What the hell? What do you mean a feather in it? Whoa,
is that just like I don't know. Like, this is just an easy thing in life. Like, it's just life is easy.
Maybe, you know, it's a pricey meal. He's got a champagne bottle, steak and potatoes, but he's so rich, it's like a feather in the bucket.
There you go.
Or he had a magnetic poetry kit, and those were the first two words that popped up.
Remember, picture David Lee Roth, you know, wearing his chinos and shit, in the studio with all the palm trees around him, thinking,
Rodeo Drive. What can I say that's going to rhyme with fuck it? Bucket. Ah, bucket. Yeah. Okay, what about a bucket?
Perfect.
feather in a bucket.
Perfect.
Like, all right, yeah, that works, sure.
Tell me, what is it we're pretending not to know, and who needs proof? I don't need so much to remember. No, that's how it is when you tell the truth. How many times does somebody lie? Keep that in mind when we say goodbye, cause you can't hear this stuff no more.
All right, Mark, what do you think of that chorus?
I think this is another issue I kind of have with the song. Not to say this song is bad already. I'm just saying one of my issues. I think that chorus is very well written. I actually really, really like that. Lyrically, I feel like it needed more vocalization on it, though. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of, how do I put this? It sort of feels, maybe it's just the way Dave is doing it. It just feels kind of thin. Like, I feel like it could have been a little bit better if it had some more, like, kind of power, some more balls behind it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe get Eddie and Mike just sort of singing with him, maybe a three-part harmony, if so, or not even a harmony, just like maybe a big unison sort of thing. I don't know. I just that was kind of my issue with this part of the song when I was younger, and like I'm hearing it again now. I was like, yeah, I really wish that was a little bit fuller. Otherwise, though, I really like what he's writing here. This is one of those situations where when Dave wants to, you know, lyrically write something really good, hey, look, he can.
It's strong lyrically, but the production kind of loses all of the vocals in the mix. Even the background vocals don't come out as much, and that's always been a strength, you know, with their harmonies.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I got to be like the opposite of you guys. I actually like how Dave is singing this. I like the tone. I like the deeper tone. It's and you know, he did the same thing in Miwise Magic. I kind of like that difference. You know, you're kind of seeing that it's an older Dave. He's not trying to show, like, he's not trying to prove anything. He's trying to change things up. And to be honest, I always loved the deep tone that Dave would put in these two songs.
Mm.
And I kind of go with Marcus saying, you know, fair warning, Dave would have belted this out with a little more power. Mm. But like Brett said, and I kind of agree with him, I think for this song, it's almost got like an introspective kind of feel to it. And I don't mind the, it sounds very much like Miwise Magic, except when he was doing the embellishments, when he took to a higher register. But that song is very much underneath too. But I will agree with Dan when he said, you know, the harmonies are buried. And even the lead vocal is buried in that mix. And normally in Van Halen, you get those harmonies nice out front and center. And Dave out front and center. And yeah, it's just not happening here.
Yeah, the delivery fits very well, but it's too far back in the mix.
That's the thing about self-improvement. Don't get me wrong, I plan to get some soon.
I love that line. That's the thing about self-improvement. Don't get me wrong, I plan on getting some soon.
But did he? But did he really? Did he ever?
Outside the wires, something's moving. Fire burnt down. Now I can see the moon. I'm slashing a tank like a pizza pie. You serve us the truth. I don't want it anymore. Keep that in mind when we say goodbye. Cause you can't get this stuff from
all right, before the guitar solo, Mark, did that chorus kind of redeem it a little bit for you?
I like how it's written. And I like, to Brett's point, like when Dave is singing a little bit lower, I think it absolutely works on the verses. But the chorus phrasing, it's not that it's not working. I just kind of wish it was a little bit more, you know, just a little bit more full, a little bit, don't be shy about, you know, putting more vocalization onto it. But yeah, as Alan pointed out, it's like a lot of that, this could have been helped with extra background vocals perhaps, but they're so buried that you can't really tell. Even in the verse, when Dave is singing and he's doing the octave jumps, you can hear he's doing the low and you can hear the high in unison there, but even that high octave is still kind of lost. You can barely hear it. That I think should have been brought out just a little bit more too. So far, really what's not doing the song any favors is the vocal mix for me.
Yeah, I think in this verse, it seems like he's forcing it too much with the lower mm-hmm. pitch. And now that you guys are saying it, I can hear it. Like the mix is just a little bit like it's hard to hear certain lyrics. Like things just aren't feeling like fluid,
mm-hmm.
Especially in this verse specifically right before the solo.
He's really low on this verse.
Yeah.
But you can hear it too in the verse. You know, when the music comes down, it fits well, but when the music comes up in the chorus, the vocals don't come up with it.
Mm-hmm. No.
Fuck you, Glenn Ballard.
I'm
Tell you what, I thought we had a Richie Sambora solo there.
That's
for a second.
What I'm like, why does this sound like why does that always have to go with Bon Jovi?
He was like, I really want to do my best Peter Frampton right here. Like, what do I got to do to bring out my Frampton? Ah, the box. I got it. But also Bon Jovi.
that part kind of lost me, but then Eddie kicked in the second half of the solo, and it was fucking great, as per usual.
It's obvious why he didn't bring that back for other you know.
He was doing that first part, and he heard how it sounded. I gotta rip this now.
I know he'd never done it, but damn, I would have loved to have heard David Lee Roth doing the talk box part in the first part.
Yeah, that'd have been cool.
While Eddie was playing.
I get why he didn't, but I agree with you. I think he probably should have, and then Eddie could have just doubled him with a guitar, and that would have sounded kind of funky.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Alan, go ahead.
It would have had a little more personality for the first part of the solo.
Yeah,
but that doesn't take away. We didn't even mention it. Doesn't take away from the solo itself. The solo itself absolutely was killer. It just happened really, really quick. I was like, for a moment, I thought it was gonna happen just a little bit longer, and then he's done that. He's not afraid to do that. But I guess this time he was just, no, I'm good.
That solo is a present day Lionel Richie. He was just talking about how he can't go all night long anymore. He's got like a furious 15 minutes. This solo was kind of like that.
That is a statement. See, there you go. That's what you want. Like, you want something like that in your earlier chorus right there to give it a little bit more, a little extra. I get why he went a little bit more for this one, because it's like the final or like the pre-final chorus. So, you know, you got to make it bigger. But still, like that's what I was looking for. I forgot.
It feels like he's getting more angry. Because he can't get that stuff more. So, like, in the beginning, he's like, yeah. And then
want
the end,
my
he's
palm
like,
trees.
Ah, I need them. I need that stuff.
I need more palm trees. Yo. At that level would have been too much for the first chorus, but closer to that would have been much better.
Mm-hmm. But yet this one, this particular chorus made it very apparent how far back those background vocals really are in the mix. Like we already pointed it out before, but in this one in particular, you can really not so hear them because they're just so far back, which I think is a big mistake, but what do you do?
It's like for the last like minute 38 here, really listen to what Alex is doing. Cause I'm listening to that thinking this would be a lot of fun to play on the drums. Like just this swing and this groove. He's really killing it in this section here. I thought Dave was choking there for a second. I was a little concerned.
Yeah. I thought he was doing his best Todd impression from Sean Geek and Fast Fret.
Or Homer, whenever he sees a donut.
Or Homer, yeah.
What is that stuff that he can't get no more? He's really craving it, I tell you.
Palm trees? Yes.
You're laughing, but cowbell makes everything better, Mark. Come on.
I'm laughing because just the these days, maybe it wasn't back, you know, it's in 96 when this came out, but these days it's a faux pas to bust out the cowbell.
Is it?
So it's, I mean, within, unless you're doing it tastefully, or if you're doing it specifically because you're going for the joke and everyone is in on it, then it's like, okay, you know, for example, if you're going to play a show and bust out with Don't Fear the Reaper, if you're not like over exaggerating your use of cowbell, then why are you playing it? Like you want the crowd involved. At this point though, it wasn't so much a faux pas, but I am looking at it from a now perspective. And so the audacity that Alex has to go ahead and very confidently utilize that cowbell, it's like, I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm not saying that's stupid. I'm laughing because I'm like, man, bravo. Bravo, Alex. You don't even care. You're just
going Alex for Van Halen. If he wants to play a cowbell, he's going to fucking play a cowbell.
Exactly. And he's not even doing it like 1, 2, 3, 4. He's giving you a whole pattern. He's like, here it is. Yeah. You're going to listen to it. And you're going to love it.
There's still like a minute left.
The funniest thing is it just sounds like at one point they just start jamming and they just kept recording and they just were like, do we just keep it in the song? And they're like, what are we gonna tell them? No, like
right, this song ended like 3 seconds ago, but they still
this goes on for so long.
All right, let's keep her going. Definitely jamming something because he's all over the place now.
when Mikey went out, like I just had the visual of him like looking around, like, are we still like, and they just look over at the booth and dude's just back there reading a magazine, like, yeah, you're fine. Go ahead. Just like, oh, okay. Interesting pattern on Alex's part.
Alex had a stroke there at the end, last 20 seconds. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell but we may complain about the vocal mix, but that low end was very high, so you could hear everything Michael was doing on bass. Anyway, not so much his background vocals, but again, what do you do? So there you go. There it is. Can't get this stuff no more. And I'm only speculating because I'm not an expert or a rock historian. I'm just assuming Dave's talking about more palm trees. So there you have it. We have the story behind the song because that's apparently how it goes. So there you have it. Okay. So now it's time to vote on it. How do we feel about Can't Get This Stuff No More? Alan and Brett, you guys are the guests, so I'm just gonna swing it back your way. You've heard the show, you know how it works. I ask you, was this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over for you? So we'll go with Alan at Fat Man on Guitar, our guest here. Is it what dreams are made of?
Look, it's not perfect. I wouldn't call it a classic, but it's got that old Van Halen feel. It has the feel of the early era. It's got the groove. They sound like they're content to be in there together.
Absolutely. And my apologies, Mark. I had a Lionel Richie moment. I jumped the gun there a little bit.
Oh, no worries. And I guess apologies to Lionel Richie. That's the new one there. So all right, yeah. Alan gives it a thumbs up. There you go. So Brett, we go to you. Is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
This song is, I mean, if it lives in my head rent free, it's got to be a good song. Like I said, it just pops in my head randomly. And I just start singing it. I don't even need the music around me. I just start singing the lyrics. I just think it's because I listened to this album so much on repeat, and I just would go from beginning to end. And so I'd listen to this song all the time. I love it. I mean, yeah, it's got its issues, and you know, being on here and hearing you guys, you know, analyze it in a different point than me. I'm not as smart as you guys, so you guys are more in depth, and I'm just like, I like this song, but you're pointing out good things, and it lets me listen to the song in a different view. But I still enjoy the hell out of this song.
Lottery will get you everywhere.
Yes, indeed it will. So then I throw it to my podcasting partner, Corey Morissette. Corey, can't get this stuff no more. Would you say that you'd put it in your top tier, upper echelon, a la What Dreams Are Made of Van Halen songs? Or did this just fall too flat? The mixing was just too poor for you, and you couldn't deal with it, and that makes the dream over.
I'll tell you all about it.
This song has its issues. I just saw John Wick Chapter 4 last night, and like, I feel like you can chop a 20-minute action scene out of that movie. You can chop the last minute out of this song, and it would be just fine. It has production issues, and we always rag on the production, especially when it comes to Mike Post in Van Halen 3 or OU812. There were some issues there, but it didn't really hurt the song for me. I love the groove. Alex was killing it. The second half, the guitar solo was great. And I love the lyrics, and I love what Dave was doing. If it's about palm trees, I'm all here for it. I live in the frozen tundra of Saskatchewan. I'd love to see a palm tree, so I can relate to the man. I can't get that shit anywhere either, so there you go.
No, you
so,
can't.
Mark, now, I was pretty sure how the three of us were going to vote, but you were kind of on the fence on this one, so I'm curious to see, for you, is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I'd be lying to you if I said a little bit of nostalgia didn't come into play with this one, but it has. Much like Brett, I spun this album quite a lot. This was my gateway into more Van Halen tunes. And I did mention, though, that this one is not one that I went back to a lot because, again, in my young, impatient mind at the time, I was like, oh, I think this intro is too, it doesn't have enough, like, oomph at the beginning, so it's not keeping my attention, so I'm just gonna skip it. What a damn fool that young Mark was, and I mean, for many things, but this one included. Mixing aside, the song is really, really good. I mean, it's just it's a nice rocking groove of Van Halen. There's nothing too off the wall about it. The whole Peter Frampton, Richie Sambora sort of little voice box thing to the solo, notwithstanding, but whatever. It's still a pretty good track. What really saves this for me, though, is the lyrics. I think Dave wrote some really good lyrics to this song. Whether or not I think the vocalization is up to par, that's irrelevant, because it's well written. The song overall really, really rocks. I wish it had been mixed a little bit better, but we've said that about a bunch of Van Halen songs at this point, and that still doesn't deter how well the song is written, how well it's performed. So we'll just have to chalk this up to, is it perfect? Is it a classic? No, but it is a good, worthy entry in the echelon, the catalog, if you were, of Van Halen. Yes, I think so. So for me, that is why this is what dreams are made of.
Perfect. Now, before we get into our announcement, Mark, both of our guests brought show and tell items. So, I'll clip this part out and we'll like put it on our YouTube channel or something. But Alan and Brett, let's start with Alan. What did you bring to class today, young man?
We were talking about getting into Van Halen early on. I pulled out my first Van Halen purchase, Van Halen 2 on 8-track.
Oh. Now, how was that experience? Did it cut off? Like, would it switch sides or?
There's a split in Somebody Get Me a Doctor.
Oh, wow.
Like in the middle of the song, there's a split?
In the middle of the song.
Oh, wow.
A-Tracks were notorious for that. The split would happen usually right in the middle of a song.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh.
The one I always go back to is on Kiss's Dynasty on the 8-track. They split in the middle of X-Ray Eyes. But they didn't back the tape up on the second part of it. So for like 20 years, there was a guitar solo that I never heard.
Oh, wow.
and still, I've had the CD since the CD was first released. That solo always surprises me because I'm so used to hearing it. It fades out and then there's nothing and then back into the chorus.
Yeah.
But yeah, I got,
wow.
I still have all the first four Van Halen 8 tracks.
Wow. Is it any wonder that format died?
I mean, well, see, I didn't know that happened. I'm gonna have to have a conversation. My father to this day still maintains that 8 tracks should never have gone away. They should come back like vinyl records did. And I said, you're an insane person. And now that I know that 8 tracks had a notorious habit of doing that, they absolutely should not come back because that's absurd.
Yeah, there was only so much room on that 8-track tape. It would sometimes they'd drop a song or two, and usually when it switched sides, it would happen right in the middle of a song.
Oh,
yeah, and there would be times where they couldn't divide it up equally, so you'd end up with about 2 minutes of silence on one of the programs, and there's no fast forward button.
That's right.
No, that I knew, but like, oh my god, as a consumer, I would be really upset. I'd be pissed. I'm like, where the hell is the music? You ripped me off. No,
yeah,
my 8 tracks, stay away.
You know, to be honest, at the time it was great for portability. And my buddy still has a car that has an 8-track player in it, but Fidelity, if you had an 8-track player, you had matchbooks because some of the tapes wouldn't sit quite level. And you'd get two different programs playing at the same time. So you had to slide the matchbook up underneath it to line everything up.
These are the things some of us of a particular age had to deal with back in the day, kids, when there was no such thing as streaming. Nothing was easily accessible. We had to figure shit out.
You kids today with your Spotitude and your compact.
Spotitude.
Back in my day.
Kevin Brown, please make a new shirt for our merch store. It says Spotitude. We need that. Oh, well, that is a hell of a find, Alan. That is.
I got to say, I'm guessing Brett's not bringing anything quite that old.
No. Unfortunately, I was bad at holding on to certain things, but Van Halen's anything Van Halen, I tried my best to keep it. So, but I had to go dig it because I haven't seen this stuff in years, but I used to you buy the case to hold all your CDs. So I don't have any of the cases for them anymore, but I got 1984 Women and Children First, Fair Warning, the first Van Halen 5150. All my old CDs. And, but the first time I ever listened to Van Halen was on a cassette. Like it was a Van Halen because my stepdad is the one who got me into Van Halen. He's a guy who's seen Van Halen 20 times in his life. And so he had Van Halen and Van Halen 2 on cassette. I think he had Fair Warning as well. So I got myself a really cheap portable cassette player and would literally just listen to those three albums on repeat. And then when I got my own CDs, I would do the same with this. And literally through my childhood, I didn't listen to anything other than Van Halen. It was the only time I would listen to any other artist would be if I'm in the car and you're listening to the classic rock radio station and you're just listening to whatever's on there. But if I'm listening, whatever I'm picking, it was Van Halen. I'd be in my backyard singing whatever songs. My band in high school was 5150.
Nice.
I saw Van Halen twice in concert for the 2004 reunion with Sammy, the Best of Both Worlds tour. And some guy just came out and said, hey, would you like this? And it's a Eddie Van Halen signed pick.
Oh, wow.
Ooh, very nice. Curious.
Yeah, a lot of cool stuff. Like my stepdad gave me an old poster from 1980. It's from September 1984, which was
Star World.
About 7 years before I was even born. But it's this really cool poster. And I used to collect anything magazine wise that had Van Halen, Eddie on it. I was all about it. And I did Hot for Teacher in a talent show in high school. So
obviously the most appropriate place to, to do that song.
When somebody comes up to me and goes, hey, can you sing for us? We're doing Hot for Teacher. I'm not going to say no, even if it's going to be really hard for me to sing it, but I think it went pretty well. But yeah, I was just upset. Yeah. I'm, I mean, I'm still obsessed to this day. I mean, I have more of a variety now. I don't just listen to Van Halen. But yeah, back with growing up, that was Van Halen was like everything to me. Like they were my childhood and they got me through a lot of stuff. And I just remember, you know, being able to see Eddie live for the first time as like a, I think it was, so in 04, I was 13. So, you know, getting to see them as a teenager, it was like, I think I probably cried when he did this first solo. Like it was just, it was wild.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
Yeah. It just, yeah. Van Halen is just a, this is why I was so excited to come on the show. Cause I could talk about Van Halen forever. I just love it. So love them so much.
We certainly do our best over here to do that and to accommodate. So you've come to the right place for that. Excellent finds, gentlemen. Yeah. I wish I had something for show and tell that is nearly as cool, but I do not. In that regard, but somewhere there is a very big thick but dusty CD bookcase, much like the one you had there where I put all my CDs, although they were big enough I could take the booklet within the CD and kind of
used
put
to
it
do
front.
That I could yeah, do that and... in this, but for some reason I don't know what happened. I think I just was in a phase where I was just like, oh, I gotta put them back, like, and yeah, I put them like, back in the case I and always... I threw them somewhere and then they got lost and never see them again.
I always kept the booklet, especially if those particular albums had the lyrics inside or mm-hmm. just really cool artwork.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely wanted to keep them. But somewhere in that dusty booklet is the aforementioned Van Halen Best of Volume 1. It's in there somewhere, and it's been there for many a year. So, yes, back in the day, kids, we had CD cases. We had to
Absolutely.
Very carefully. If we were alone in the car, we had to very carefully and strategically change the CD. If we wanted to change, you know, music, we didn't have our phones to just click. Oh, man. You kids today. But I say that only because I just had a birthday, so I'm 1 year older. So I feel like damn kids. But anyway. There you have it. There it is. Good stuff. Show and tell. We love it here on the show. All right. So before we wrap it up and get on out of here, why don't you tell the people what you got? Brett, you mentioned a dissecting film. Please tell the people where they can find you, find your show, find everything that you got going on. Please let them know.
So yeah, we are at Dissect That Film on all the social medias, and you can find our show at Dissect That Film on any of the podcast services. And we're on YouTube as well. We put the video form of our podcast. So if you want to see my face and my co-host's face in, you know, whenever we have a guest, go to our YouTube. And yeah, we're just finishing up the Alien franchise, Alien. I don't know when this episode is going to be coming out, but we're finishing up the Alien franchise with Alien Covenant this Friday as of this recording. And then, we're actually going to be celebrating our 100th episode come Sunday, April 2nd. So
congratulations.
It's going to be live on YouTube. So come hang out with us at Dissect That Film over on YouTube and come help us celebrate 100 episodes, because it's something I never thought would happen.
It's a big accomplishment. Oh, absolutely.
That is a huge accomplishment. We can tell you confidently. So bravo to that. I'm going to tune into that Alien Covenant episode, because I have thoughts about that movie.
We did too.
I can't wait for that. So thank you, man. Appreciate it. Alan, please tell the people you got anything going on you want to promote or where they can find you.
Despite my wife's best encouragement, I got nothing. I'm a fat man on guitar on Twitter and Instagram. That's about it.
Well, you got a killer setup back there. So, you know, if you want, you just throw on a camera and just stream yourself playing. There you go. You got mini guitars to choose from. You're like, you're buried back there. Good Lord.
Yeah.
Covered in equipment.
It's a tight mess back here.
Understandable, but you get, it looks like you got some cool stuff, so that's it's a fun mess, a tight one, but a fun one. So
it's a hell of a way to pass time.
Yeah. So we appreciate you lending your time being on the show here, your expertise on Van Halen. For the both of you, thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being part of this. Corey, tell the people where they can find yourself and where they can find all the good stuff that's going on with the show.
Well, they can find me at CD Morissette. They can find the show at Podcast Will Rock and all your favorite social media apps, website, www.podcastwillrock.com. We got a couple of things in the works, including one that we may be launching here tonight, if mm-hmm. the golden voice of Mark Meyer is ready.
Well, yeah, I'll need your help with it, but it's time for that announcement that we mentioned earlier. You guys, after much deliberation, after much conversation, after a few do it, don't do it, we've decided we are launching a Patreon. That's right. Podcast will rock Patreon. Patreon will rock. There you go. That's what we're doing. I'm going to let Corey tell you about the tiers we've got so far. It's still a work in progress, but we're announcing that it is active. But please give them a little taste about what they can expect if they sign up.
First, everyone should know if you like listening to the show, nothing changes. Show is still going to drop every single Friday unless Mark has a birthday, then we have to take a fucking week off. but nothing will change. But we thought maybe there's a way to get people, you know, help offset some of the costs, because, you know, Zoom ain't free, fuckers,
right?
To do it right anyway and stuff, right? So trying to offset some of our costs and maybe upgrade some stuff and, you know, and get the people a little more involved. So yeah, starting this weekend, probably sometime. We didn't want to do it on April Fool's Day. That just seemed like a bad idea waiting to happen, but nothing too extravagant. We had a couple of tiers. There's going to be like a tier where if you want to guarantee that your tweet or your message or anything get read on the air, we'll do that for you for a few bucks. One of the tiers I'm kind of excited about, and I have to credit the guys at Pot of Thunder. They started doing this, is that we're just going to, as we're recording here tonight on a Wednesday night, we're going to open up a Zoom call for everybody who subscribes to that tier. They can watch along as we're recording. They can comment, we'll read their comments on the air as we're going. You know, you just got to chill out and hang. And if you want to be on the show, first of all, if I've reached out to you to be on the show, don't worry, you're still getting on for free. But we're talking maybe down the road, there's going to be a tier. If you want to be a co-host on the show and maybe even force a song, you don't want to spin the wheel, you want a specific song, maybe it's not even a Van Halen song, for a certain tier, we'll do that too. Because we're talking, if you know enough people kind of show, or if any people for that matter, show any interest in us continuing past the Van Halen catalog, because we're now 49 songs left on the wheel. You know, we'll do all the solo stuff. We'll get different wheels for David Lee Roth, for Sammy Hagar, including Montrose. We'll get an extreme wheel, and we'll get a mammoth wheel. And we'll just, you know, spin one a week. There's 4 weeks in a month, and there's, you know, four different solo wheels, right? So we can keep doing this show for quite a while if the people want us to. So if you're interested at all, absolutely. It's a way to get a little more invested in the show. And if not, totally cool too. Whenever you see a song you like, just pop it on Fridays on your favorite podcast player, and nothing's going to change.
Yep. You guys have been clamoring a lot for us to keep the show going and start diving into the solo stuff. Matter of fact, that's what I hear the most from a lot of you listeners out there. Like, you guys should talk about some Dave solo. Like, everyone wants us to get into the Dave solo. Some people want the Sammy stuff, which there's a lot more of Sammy solo stuff than there is Dave. But there you go. Okay, so you want it, you got it. We're going to do it via Patreon. So, like, that's... that is the quickest and the easiest way for you to finally get what you want and have us talk about the solo sort of spinoffs, as it were, the solo Dave, the solo Sammy. And as Corey mentioned, we'll do some mammoth, we'll do extreme. Actually, that would be really, really cool. So you guys really want to hear us not so much shit on Gary so much for Van Halen 3 and actually listen to us go like, yes, listen to this extreme song. Now's the time to really let us know. Yes, please go visit the Patreon. I believe the Patreon is live now. Yes,
not quite. We're probably gonna drop it on Saturday or Sunday. We don't want to drop it on Friday this episode because it's April Fool's Day, but we'll soft launch it sometime over the weekend.
Right. So we'll just keep it in mind and give it a day. If you're listening to this Friday, then first of all, happy weekend. And then also, like, maybe give it a day or two and then go check it out. Go check out our Patreon, because it is happening. We are making it happen. So now you guys got to make it happen. Show up. Let us know. Let us know if you really want us to keep going, you know. For lack of a better phrase, put your money where your mouth is, because Corey and I love doing this show. We really do. And we would like to keep it going, but we need help. You know, we need help to keep it going, because, you know, the times they be what they are. So, but we appreciate all of you listeners. And as Corey said, if you just want to listen just as a listener, that is also cool too. But a lot of you have been asking for a little bit of this extra stuff, so we are presenting it. in the best way we know how. So look out for the Patreon release. It is happening. And speaking of happening, the show just happened. We did it. We wrapped it up. Big special thanks to our guests, Alan and Brett, respectively, on the show. So happy to have you guys as guests. Thank you once again for joining us. Thank you for listening. And thank you, dear listener, for listening, keeping us in your podcasting waves, in your thoughts, and just basically keeping us going, because we do it for you. We do it for Van Halen, and we do it because we are humble fans, not experts, not historians, just humble fans. We are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.